Good morning. Welcome here this morning. A beautiful spring day. I think we needed the rain, at least my flowers that I finally planted yesterday. And spring is always a season of hope. And that's what today's theme is all about, hope. That's where you will find some of the music which will have some of the words around hope. First of all, I want to thank you all for coming and moving to the front so we're all sitting close together instead of way back there, and then you wouldn't be so close, and I'd have to sing too loudly when we're doing our congregational singing. So thank you. I think that's awesome. Our call to worship this morning. Holy and ever-living God, by your power we are created, and by your love we are redeemed. Guide and strengthen us by your Spirit, that we may give ourselves to your service and live each day in love to one another and to you. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, so that we may truly love you and worthily praise your holy name through our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. If you're able and you can stand, please take out your brown hymnals and join me in singing My Hope is Built on Nothing Less, number 558. Stand if you're able, then we can sing.
Is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness seems to veil his face, I rest on his unfailing grace. In every high and stormy gale, I rest on your veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. His oath is covenant and blood, support me in a time of flood. When all around me so gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, clad in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking.
Thank you. All I could practically hear was me, but I'll try and sing quieter next time so I can hear you too. But it's hard not to want to sing along in full voice. Welcome everyone this morning. Are there any guests that need to be introduced? None? You're all very familiar looking to me. So thank you again for joining us this Sunday morning. As always, there are announcements to be read. And just to highlight one quick thing, at the back of it, where we have this week at NKMC, it says Thursday, May 25th, 6:30 young adults. That is not the case. We'll just strike that out. Not that any of you are going to be going. Not even me anymore. It is on Tuesday, 23rd, because Tim and Stephanie will be away for a short vacation. What? It's just a typo. Okay. Also, you have a little insert, which is Gather Manitoba, and invited to join them there for a number of speakers, and that's going to be held on June the 3rd. And volunteer choir under number 4. So all of you who would like to come and join and sing with us, that would be awesome. We'd really welcome you to our front benches. It's a great place to sit and watch everyone and see everyone and smile at everyone and see who's falling asleep and who's not. And under number 1, we have a little announcement that we're going to share coffee next week to celebrate the 1-year anniversary for Nestory. Under number 2, we have Megan Reimer, who has completed the faith exploration classes and will be receiving baptism, which will be held on Pentecost, June the 4th. And that's a wonderful day for all of us and for Megan. And then other notes under what's happening at NKMC, you can just have a look at everything. Remember to put June 4th on your calendar, because that will be fun after church to be in the parking lot and look at some awesome cars. And I hear there's going to be some Harley Davidsons too. Now, if I could just get a ride on one of those one more time, that would be nice too. Then there are also beyond NKMC a number of announcements that you can read through. Now, in terms of sharing, is there anyone who has some sharing, some announcement, something they'd like to share with us? Harry does. So Ingo has the mic, if you give him a minute. So, okay, take your time, Harry. Oh, do you? Put the mic closer so we can hear you, Harry.
My sister knows better than I do. You know.
Okay. Yeah. And which of your granddaughters? From Boisevain?
This one's in Saskatchewan. This is Melissa's youngest one.
Okay.
Yeah, Melissa, yeah.
And how many great-grandchildren do you have now, Harry?
5.
Wow. Well, congratulations. Thank you.
Yeah, well, I have another grandchild on the way.
Okay. Well, those are all good things. My uncle used to say, if I had known grandchildren were so much fun, I would have had them first. Kind of agree. Did you have an announcement?
Good morning.
Good morning.
I would like to thank you for bringing me here to Canada. I was born in Burundi, and I grew up in the refugees camp in Tanzania, but not in Uganda. I spent 23 years in the camp, living in miserable condition and a disaster environment. I would like to thank you, all of you people, who help refugees through different agencies, because I was get food from UNHCR the whole 23 years. Thank you for your help. May God bless you.
Thank you. I think one of the things that many of us take for granted is the fact that a lot of us, have families that were considered somewhat refugees who traveled all over many different countries and finally landed up in this beautiful, as my dad said, the best place in the world, North Kildonan. But to live in a refugee camp is something, you know, that most of us have never experienced, not for most of our lives. And we sometimes forget how lucky and how blessed we are to have what we have here. So welcome. I hope that Canada will continue to treat you well and that life will be an awesome experience for you here. As always, in terms of sharing, under our hospital, we have Karen Brewer and Peter Thiessen. Now, I don't have an update from anyone on Karen, but we trust that she will be recovering from, what they call a bone marrow, but now is like a stem cell replacement for her cancer treatment. I did see Peter Thiessen last Sunday. And it's always sad and surprising when someone has deteriorated a great deal and is not healthy anymore. And I still think of him as very young. He was only 76. And when you're 66 yourself, 76 doesn't seem that old at all anymore. Kind of seems in my age bracket. There are many others in Bethania, as you know, under Cedarwood, Riverwood, Irene Barron, many there that we need to keep in our prayers, as well as all of those that are undergoing treatments and struggling with long-term health issues. Some we don't know about, and some we do. Any other sharing, announcements, anything? Okay, then I will ask Rudolph to share some music with us.
Hi, guys. A long time ago, all of the churches got together in the town called Nicaea. And at Nicaea, they wrote together a list of things that we believe, called a creed. Can you guys guess what was on that list? Nope. Well, we believe in God, and we believe in Jesus. We believe that Jesus came to this earth, and we believe in the Holy Spirit and the church. And those are the main points of the list. So it's important that we figure out what we believe and think about what you hear in church when you read the Bible, when you pray and ask lots of questions. Today's lesson reminds us that others may ask us what we believe. And that gives us hope and makes us happy. When we talk to others about our belief in God, we are instructed to be gentle and have respect. We all have many different ways to look at the truth. Even among Christians, there are maybe disagreements, and you may hear adults arguing about such things. So be ready to share what you believe with anyone who asks you, but do it with gentleness, love, and respect. Don't argue. Only use kind words. And knowing you are loved and that God's love is forever is a happy thing. And that is our hope. So, should we pray? God, thank you for giving us hope and help us be able to share our hope with others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And you can go back to your parents.
And if you'd open your hymnals again, your brown hymnals. Number 89, please. And because this is such a familiar song in German, I'm going to take liberty and say, if you would like to sing the first verse in German, and then we'll sing the remaining verse 2, 3, and 4 in English. Or if you want to sing them all in German, I won't stop you.
Solange Jesus bleibt der Herr, wird's alle Tage herrlicher. So was so ist, so wird es sein, bei seiner gläubigen Gemein. Oh, see the mighty hand of God, his love and mercy strengthen. His blood and righteousness avail, his grace and pardon never fail. This shall the song forever be of saints before the crystal sea. O Christ, that on the cross hath bled, has saved me through life's valley.
Would you bow your head for the prayer? Heavenly Father, you have promised to hear when we pray in the name of your Son. Therefore, in confidence and trust, we pray for the church. For NKMC, we pray for continued guidance as we search for a full-time pastor, that we continue to strive to be a loving community as changes occur in our church, as they do in all churches. We are thankful for the caring pastors in our midst, for France, Tim, and Gary, and all the committees and volunteers who continue to work in our church. Father, we pray for our world church, regardless of their denomination, that you enliven us for its mission, that we may be salt of the earth, hope, light, and love to the world. Breathe fresh life into our people, so we can continue the work of the church to serve and volunteer. There are so many areas of our church that requires the gifts and the time of its members to keep our programs running. Give us power to reveal Christ in word and action. We pray for the world. We are blessed to live in a country of freedom with more resources and opportunities that so many of God's children do not have. For those who hunger, who cannot provide for their families, who hide from bombs and terror every day. For those who protest injustice and long for a more balanced way of living for all of your children. For those whose governments incite racism and hatred for our fellow man based on color or religious beliefs. Creator of all, lead us and every people into ways of justice and peace, that we may respect one another in freedom and truth, that we may love our neighbor as you commanded us. Awaken us a sense of wonder for the earth and all that is in it. Teach us to care creatively for its resources, for so much of them have already been squandered through greed. We pray for our community. God of truth, inspire with your wisdom those whose decisions affect the lives of others, that all may act with integrity and courage, not to become enslaved by political agendas and egos. Give grace to all those lives who are linked with ours, that we may serve Christ in one another and love as he loves us. We pray for those in need, our church members in personal care homes, hospitals, assisted living, the sick at home, the aged ones, the ones who pray for healing for body and mind. Give them and their loved ones patience and strength. God of hope, comfort, and restore all who suffer in body, mind, or spirit. May they know the power of your healing love. We also remember those who have died and those who have mourned. Make us willing agents of your compassion. Strengthen us as we share in making people whole. Give comfort to all those who mourn and long for healing. Bring them peace in their time of loss. Lord, grant that we may walk in your presence, your love in our hearts, your truth in our minds, your strength in our wills, until at the end of our journey, we know the joy of our homecoming and the welcome of your embrace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. Hear our prayers, O God. Amen. We'll now have the offering.
Thank you.
The scripture reading this morning is from 1 Peter 3:13 to 22. Now who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is right? But even if you do suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled, but in your hearts reverence Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who calls you to account for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and reverence. And keep your conscience clear, so that, when you are abused, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing right, if that should be God's will, than for doing wrong. For Christ also died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit, in which he went and preached to the spirits in prison, who formerly did not obey, when God's patience waited in the days of Noah, during the building of the ark, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were saved through water. Baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from your body, but as an appeal to God, but a clear conscience. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, with angels, authorities, and powers subject to him.
Good morning. Last time I preached, I titled my sermon, A New Hope. I was referring to the hope of the triumphal entry. Hope for a future kingdom of God, on earth as it is in heaven. Today, I want to return to the theme of hope. In 1 Peter chapter 3, Peter offers a message of hope to the churches of Asia Minor. While persecution had not yet begun, it was clear that there was mounting hostility towards the church and that persecution was on its way. I want to be clear. We as Christians in North America are not facing persecution. Nobody is going to jail for being a Christian. No one is being tortured or killed for their belief in Jesus Christ. Persecution is a reality in other parts of the world. If you want to get involved with helping our persecuted brothers and sisters, check out the Voice of the Martyrs Canada, an organization that advocates for persecuted Christians. However, secularization is not persecution. Christians in Western culture have been in a place of privilege for many years. Privilege refers to the benefit we receive simply for being Christian. It is not simply a result of anything we do ourselves. Rather, we receive these benefits because Christianity is the dominant religion. Even though Western society has tried to keep church and state separate, due to Christianity's size, we have had unfair amounts of privilege compared to other religions. Christian privilege means that we can means that we automatically get time off for our major holidays, and that we aren't pressured to celebrate another religion's holidays. Christian privilege is that we can wear our religious symbols without expecting people to be upset. Christian privilege means that politicians who create and uphold laws are likely to share our faith, and being seen as good Christians is often important for being elected. As well, these politicians are able to create laws that are compatible with their religious beliefs. In recent years, these privileges have been challenged. Some of them have been extended to other religions, while others have been stripped from us so that there is space at the table for other religions. This is not persecution. This is leveling the playing field. And it is a good thing. It actually provides legitimacy for our beliefs. We aren't hiding behind our positions of authority anymore. Instead, we have to allow our faith to stand on its own merit. We are coming to a place where our beliefs and theological positions can be challenged, and we need to defend them. So when Peter tells his readers that they should always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you for the reason of the hope that you have, we can learn from him. not because we are being persecuted like he is, but because we finally are being called to account for our faith on an even footing with others. The first thing to note is that our faith in Christ is hope. Give the reason for the hope that you have. Faith isn't just intellectual assent. It isn't just about believing that God exists. Faith is about hope. Faith is about believing that God is in control, and that even when things are going to hell in a handbasket, God is still in command. For the early Christians facing persecution, hope in an eternal salvation was a great comfort to them. When we are asked why we believe in what we do, we must be ready to give an answer. Saint Peter also tells us how to give this defense, with gentleness and respect, and keeping a clear conscience. I hate to say it, but Christians can be jerks. We assume that we know everything, that we have the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And anyone who disagrees is wrong. A cup of Christmases ago, Starbucks released a plain red cup for the holiday season. And many Christians claimed that Starbucks was declaring a war on Christmas because there weren't any Christmas symbols on it, even though Starbucks was just using a minimalist approach to that graphic design. Or 3 years ago, World Vision announced some changes to the hiring policy so they would no longer discriminate based on sexual preferences. Within days, 3,500 child sponsorships had been canceled, forcing World Vision to change the policy back. Apparently, theological purity was more important to those donors than the physical well-being of children. This is not how Christianity is supposed to behave. As Bob Goff says, don't let being right talk you out of being kind. Even if we disagree with someone about our faith, an attitude of kindness will advance our faith more than rudeness. Shortly after Constantine was emperor and ended Christian persecution, there was another emperor named Julian. Julian was a staunch pagan. In fact, he hated Christianity. One time he wrote to a pagan priest, offering some guidance in terms of how to combat the growing Christianity and to help the state religion. He told them that they needed to observe how the kindness of Christians to strangers, the care for the burial of the dead, and the sobriety in their lifestyle has done the most to advance their cause. Later, still mad at the Christians, he writes one of my favorite descriptions of the early church. Those impious Galileans, they take care of their poor and then help us too. Our kindness is supposed to be a testament to our hope. There is a quote the people have mistakenly attributed to St. Francis of Assisi. It reads, "Preach the gospel everywhere you go. When necessary, use words." Now, St. Francis would disagree with this thing because he would never shy away from using words to defend the gospel. But he would also agree that our actions are a way of, that our actions speak and are a way to embody the gospel. Peter tells his readers that they might suffer for their answers, that following Christ has consequences. This is true. This past week I saw a comic strip of two people talking. When the first person says, "People would like you a whole lot better if you acted more like Jesus." The second person responds saying, "Hello, they crucified him." Sometimes we just have to suffer for our faith. Peter writes, "For it is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil." This is a passage that needs to be read very carefully. This passage is not saying that all suffering is a good thing. As Mennonites, we have come to often associate suffering with doing the right thing. Our ancestors, as martyrs, fled from town to town, looking for safe harbor because of persecution. And we suffered for our faith. And we think that suffering means that we are doing the right thing. But not all suffering is pious suffering. Carol Penner wrote her PhD dissertation about how peace theology has encouraged violence against women. "When the sermons we preach and the songs that we sing encourage us to carry on through the pain, and that one day we will be free in Christ. Women in abusive relationships can hear that message and think that their suffering is righteous, that they can change him, if they just take better care of him, if they just persevere. Too many Mennonite women have stayed in abusive situations because of a misreading of the gospel. The church should have been a place of freedom and salvation for these horrible situations. Instead, we kept them in their place. The gospel should have given them hope. Suffering is only redemptive if it is for the sake of the gospel. Peter is saying that your answers about your faith might cause you to suffer. When Peter says it is better if it is God's will to suffer for doing good than for doing evil, he is making a parallel statement to when Jesus in Matthew says that God causes the sun to shine on the good and the evil, and he sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. Both those that do good and those that do evil are going to suffer at some point, but it's better to suffer for doing good than to suffer for doing evil, because at least you know that some good was achieved. It is better to suffer for having given your answer than to suffer for no reason. Finally, Peter uses the story of Noah to talk about baptism. Peter says that the waters of the flood saved Noah and his family from the destruction that came on everyone else. Similarly, the waters of baptism save us. As a good Anabaptist, I can't say that grace is imparted through baptism itself. It is just water. Luckily, Peter doesn't make me say that. He says that baptism doesn't wash away dirt from the body. Instead, it is a pledge of a clear conscience towards God. Baptism doesn't save you. Rather, it is a sign of your commitment to God. We are saved by the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is seated on the right hand of God and stands in authority over the world. I have had the privilege of walking with Megan Reimer over the last few months through her faith exploration classes. We've talked about a variety of subjects about faith, but the thing that stands out from our conversations is that for her, faith is a journey. And she's made a commitment to follow Jesus on that journey. I'm looking forward to the celebration in 2 weeks' time when she gets baptized during the service. During that time, she is going to have to answer questions about her faith, and she's going to have to give a reason for the hope that she has. As we listen to her give her testimony, think about how you would give your own. In the face of us losing our Christian privilege, in the face of suffering for the truth, in light of your own baptism, how would you give an answer to the hope that you have? Thank you.
Beyond our fear and hope, beyond our soul.
One of my very favorite songs, and I think if you really reflect on those words, every day, they're words that can bring you that comfort and hope. Just before we go into our closing and do the benediction, if you have this book at home, your little Gesangbuch der Mennoniten, and you want to read something beautiful about spring, open it to number 565. I'll just read the first verse. It's in German, but the words are beautiful, and I think it's very fitting for spring. Wie lieblich ist der Maien aus lauter Gottes Güte, dass sich die Menschen freuen, weil alles grünt und blüht. Die Tier sieht man jetzt springen mit Lust auf grüner Weide. Die Vöglein hört man singen, die loben Gott mit Freude. And there is another three verses that you could read. They're beautiful. Would you open up your hymnal so that you're prepared to sing our closing, which is number 161, and it's Gesangbuch der Mennoniten, and it's Segne und Behüte, which in English, if I could quickly translate, is basically bless, protect, guide us, and be with us. And the words are lovely, and it's a very old-time favorite in this church. I know I've sung it for many, many decades. Please stand for the benediction in this closing song. In darkness and in light, in trouble and in joy, help us, Heavenly Father, to trust your love, to serve your purpose, and to praise your name. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Go now to love and serve the Lord. Go in peace. Amen. We'll sing all three verses.